T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome back. 407 Sue's News in just a little bit. A couple of things before that, and I mentioned in the last hour, Dr. Marty McCary, who is with Johns Hopkins. We played this audio soundbite last week.
It's been about 2.5 million per day on average. Well, we immunized 3 million people a day with the flu shot during the flu season. So we have to put things in context.
He also said something about just the rate of, this caught a lot of people's attention, about immunity.
85% of adults in the United States today have immunity. And I think we need to change that lexicon from, and that's because, as you said, 62% of those over 12 and 64% of those over 18 have a vaccinated immunity. And about half of the unvaccinated have natural immunity from prior infection. So we're doing pretty good. It's hard for that virus to jump around and for super spreading to occur right now.
Dr. McCary is going to come up in the next segment at 425, a little perspective on that coming up. This was something that I think Fred put this in front of me last week, and we're going to talk about some epic burgers before Sue's News, because this is Epic Burger Week.
Love it.
In Southwest Illinois in the Great Rivers and Routes region. Corey Jobe with us for some details this afternoon. Hey, Corey, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic. So everybody loves a good burger. It's summer.
Yes.
This seems like a perfect fit, right? Give us the details here this afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, we're, you know, a lot of our small business owners have been struggling, and, you know, the pandemic was rough on them. And, you know, we are known for great food in our region. A lot of people travel here for our great restaurants. And so we decided to highlight we're starting this series of Epic Food Weeks. First week is Burger Week. Started today, runs through Friday. It's a midweek deal, not weekend, so we encourage people to travel over. We have 22 locations, so we've got burgers in Collinsville, Alton, Grafton, Edwardsville, Hillsboro, all throughout our six-county region here in Southwest Illinois. And there's some really unique burgers. And it's a great way to get out, appetite, to get your taste buds going, and visit our region.
I like the fact that you're doing it during the week, right? Just to get a little bit more of a weekday crowd out there to take a look at these burgers.
I have
a new favorite.
I have a new favorite. I'm just wondering if it's on there. I like a blue cheese burger, possibly with some bacon. Anyone? Anyone?
I would go for
that. You know, we've got some unique burgers. Brown Bag Bistro here in downtown Alton has what's called the Peachy Patty. And it's a half pound of fresh handmade burger, caramelized fresh peaches and pineapple. With caramelized onions. There's some crazy burgers. I mean,
I will tell you that doesn't sound good to me at all. However, having said that, I will offer examples of things that I don't think sound good, and then they're good in the end. So I'd be willing to give that a shot for sure.
That's fair.
It's very similar to if you put like a peach spread almost on a burger.
Peach
bacon jam.
Who puts peach spread on their burger?
Oh,
that's
delicious.
The question I would have.
Oh, it's delicious.
Okay. All right. That must be
We have several bacon jam burgers, one at Old Bakery here in Alton, but we have one in Old Herald over in downtown Collinsville that's got a half-pound Angus burger. It's topped with crispy smoked pork belly.
Oh, I'm in
top
there.
Top of Gouda cheese, and then a spicy sweet jalapeno jam.
That sounds pretty good. Right. Tell me a little bit. This one caught my attention here at Grafton Oyster Bar, the stuffed crawfish burger.
Ooh.
Or do you say crayfish?
I say crawfish.
So do I.
Yeah,
that sounds
pretty
good.
Unique.
That sounds
good. We also have one in Carlinville called the Hot and Sticky Burger. Now, when I heard about this, a good friend of mine owns this pub, Uptown Tavern in Carlinville, and it's pepper jack, peanut butter, and onion served on a third pound beef patty.
That's unique.
So, peanut butter.
Peanut
so all these are really
bad.
Unique.
Peanut butter on a burger.
It sounds better than peaches to me.
Yeah, well, me too. You're doubling up on the protein there as well. Although I never rule anything out. You know, we were actually having a conversation about this, and every once in a while it comes up. My wife makes very unique sandwich, which I mocked many years ago. And just, here, I'll run this down for you, Corey, see if you'd eat this. This is not a burger, but it is on an English muffin,
I'm with
peanut
you so
butter,
far. Yeah.
cheese. Salami pickle. Well, but it's good. That's I said the same thing.
I'm not
Sue.
A pickle person. Andrew wouldn't eat it either. What about you, Fred?
Corey, would you eat that?
I'm a big pickle person, so I'd probably try that. But you know what? I'm amazed at some of the combinations. But evidently, we're hearing a lot of buzz. Today is first day. You know, everybody's getting out trying them. You know what's kind of cool is all the small business owners are really proud of the burgers they create. It's a way to showcase their business, and we just encourage all your listeners to come visit us and discover our area.
Awesome. All right, Cole, thanks for coming on, and I'm excited that you're going to be doing some other themes this summer, so keep us posted.
Yeah, this summer is epic ice cream week, and then the fall we're doing epic pizza week. Ooh. So come hungry, stay often, travel through, and look forward to seeing you all over.
Is there a website to guide people in for all the details?
Yep, www.riversandroutes.com, and go to Epic Burger Week, and you can see all the specials, and come explore Southwest Illinois this summer and
awesome.
Fall.
Corey, appreciated. Thank you very much. 413.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
That's right. Wasabi the Pekingese won Best in Show at the 145th Annual Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show yesterday. Was I the only one who watched it?
Oh, thank God.
I caught some of it. I caught some of it, yeah.
Did you?
Yeah. I like the dog shows, but all these weird faces. Not that that's a weird breed, but the way that they cut these dogs and...
Yeah, it's interesting,
yeah,
isn't
it? Well, interesting is one word for it. Well, it's kind of creepy, too.
I like it.
What
I
don't like about
it
is, look, you have dogs. I
yes.
have dogs. Fred's had... You currently have
dogs.
A dog?
Yep.
Andrew, I can't remember.
No,
he's
a dog. Cat.
So we love our dogs, and I can't imagine not being with my dogs. Well, the people who own these dogs are never with the damn dogs. They're with the handlers,
not
right?
All, no.
No, I don't believe it.
Some of them are the owner-handlers, and that's a big deal, right? Because they live with these dogs every day.
And this is hypocritical because I watch the dog shows, but the dog show world to me is creepy. It's kind of like the pageant world for little girls.
Yeah. Okay, that's just because you watch Best in Show and you can't get it out of your head. I understand how that goes. By the way, it was the fifth win ever for the breed. It was a cute little thing, although I really liked the Whippet. Anyway, Jade, the German short-haired pointer, Matthew, the French bulldog, all made it to the finals but didn't get it. Okay, here is it. This is interesting.
There's not a steroid testing controversy or anything here from Wasabi, is there?
The bulldog was adorable. P.S. His name was Bear, but he got beat by the Frenchie. The point to you is this. Westminster is the second oldest continuous sporting event in the U.S. What is it behind? What is the number
one? Actual sport? I don't know. Let's see.
Ooh, number one. Let's see.
Sport that's on the list?
Let's see.
Kentucky Derby.
That is correct.
Oh, I was thinking it had to be something like it wouldn't have been any of the big sports.
Fred, you're right. The Kentucky Derby.
Well, those are equine athletes. I would grant you that.
146 years old. All right.
Tell us about your dogs.
Mine are two English bulldogs, Lulu and Oscar.
They're beautiful.
Thank you for that, Fred. What kind do you have?
I have a part dachshund and part shih tzu.
Oh, that's interesting.
They call that a Sweeney.
Call the dog that, just to be clear, or is there like nicknames involved? I just want to make
Sweeney,
sure.
A Sweeney, you said.
Okay. A Sweeney.
Yes. Did you hear that, Andrew? It's a Sweeney. Mm-hmm. The person who won the auction on Saturday to go to space with Jeff Bezos and his brother Mark has not yet been identified. Whomever it was bid $28 million for it, and they did this on the online auction. They beat out, there were about 7,600 bids from over 150 countries. And Blue Origin is Bezos' rocket company. They're going to send this spacecraft called New Shepard into suborbital space on July 20th. Apparently, when Bezos announced that his brother was going, it really caused a surge in bids. And I don't know why. Maybe they thought, well, if Bezos thinks it's safe enough for his brother to go.
Yeah, safe enough for his brother. You know? It must be safe enough for,
It's just going to be a quick up and down trip. Apparently, they shoot him straight up to this one, you know, right at the edge of space, suborbital space, and then they come down by parachute. It's very interesting.
They come down by, like, the spacecraft comes down
by parachute? The spacecraft
comes
down.
Okay, they don't come down by parachute. All right, just to be clear. I mean, I think I would do it. Now, you have to recognize, too, that $28 million, if you have $1 billion, $28 million, that's like, you know.
You're right, it's nothing.
$100,000 or something like
that.
They
have space for six people in this rocket. Only four will be going now, and they haven't announced the other person either. So there are two we don't know who else is going to go. And the launch date is the 52nd anniversary of Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin's moon landing. That's why they're doing it then.
Nice.
Yeah. Everybody has their own window in this spaceship. It's kind of the first real space tourism.
I would hope 28 mil would get you a window at least.
I would think so.
I would hope at least they don't put you in the aisle.
That would be the
first ever aisle seat in space.
Would you go? If it were free, would you go on this first rocket ship?
Absolutely not.
I would strongly consider it, yes.
Would you really?
Yeah, I would, because now when you say the first one, that's the trick, right? The very first one.
Yeah.
Bezos, you know, maybe.
We'd talk
about some of the drones and the new facility out there where the Chrysler plant used to be. We might just have a good time on that space.
That's a good point.
Who
Fred,
knows?
Are you going for free?
I was a little leery about doing the supersonic jet flight, so I don't think I'm going to go up into space.
Did you do a supersonic jet flight?
No, I'm leery about doing that.
Oh, okay.
I would never do that.
He's not going to get on the new Concorde. Well, I really think when Jeff Bezos said, my brother's doing it, people thought, okay, well, it's real. I guess they don't care if he's killed, but when his brother goes,
yeah, maybe
it's somehow
that's the
serious,
psychology.
You know? All right, box office results for the weekend. At number one at the movies, A Quiet Place Part 2 beat out In the Heights. 11.7 million to 11.4. By the way, Quiet Place, the first movie to surpass $100 million at the box office
nice.
Post-pandemic.
And I went again. I told you earlier.
Yeah.
I went to the theater. So now I've seen two movies in a theater in the past month, both the same movies, A Quiet Place 2 and A Quiet Place 2, because I went to the screening. But it was nice because there was no request for masks in the movie theater at all yesterday.
Where were you?
This was at DePere. But think about what you just said in terms of your typical, like if we went back to this weekend 2 years ago and looked at the box office, even the total box office from all these movies probably wouldn't add up to the number one movie from that weekend.
You're probably right. I mean, third place was Peter Rabbit 2, The Runaway. You feel me?
And they didn't even screen that one. We were all joking about that last year because it was supposed to come out in March of last year, like right when the pandemic was, you know, we were just shutting everything down. And the critic community was joking just because we weren't going to get to see the screening. And then when it came back on the schedule, I emailed or text messaged Joe Moskis over at Allied and said, Peter Rabbit 2, I've been waiting. And he said, and you still won't get to see it before it's out. So I don't think they think too highly of that one.
Okay, that amused me. An experienced lobster diver in Provincetown, Massachusetts was diving on Friday, read much, Sue, when he was swallowed whole by a humpback whale. Did you hear this story?
No.
I did. He said he was in its mouth for like 30 seconds.
Yes. He's down there looking for lobster.
Do we believe that?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Okay. He's down there looking for lobster. He said he felt a huge shove. The next thing he knew, it was completely black. He thought for a minute that he was inside a great white shark and really panicked, but he said he was uninjured and couldn't feel any teeth, and that's how he knew he was in a whale. These are toothless. I kid you not.
And so what happened?
He was wearing scuba gear, started struggling. Whale didn't like it. Whale went up to the top and spit
him out.
I mean, it's like Jonah, people.
It is like Jonah.
It's totally like
Jonah.
There's
a part of me, though, that's a little skeptical about
that. No, they show him in the hospital and somebody...
Well, I know, but we're going to have to take his word for it,
well,
right?
Well, no. The crewmate saw the whole thing, picked him up,
All right.
And took him to the hospital. He said it was a medium-sized humpback, probably just a baby. And their esophagus isn't large enough to actually swallow them into the stomach. He could only hold them in his mouth. And when it moved around, he didn't like it and spit it out.
Well, that makes a little sense, right?
Yeah, see? And finally, a man in Chicago, Dan O'Connor, jumped in Lake Michigan yesterday for the 365th day in a row. He's been doing it to relieve stress during the pandemic. He's a bus driver, father of three. It got really tricky during the winter, he said, when he had to hack a hole in the frozen lake. But people loved it on Instagram, so they all showed up and gave him a big, you know, hooray for you. And he has said that he was just looking for a moment of zen, but it made so many people happy, he continued to jump in the lake.
Yeah, as someone who's been in Lake Michigan many, many times during the summer, which is difficult in and of itself, I don't know how he would have done that in any other month outside of July and August. Because that water, and I'm usually testing this, not necessarily from the Chicago area, but from Door County, Wisconsin, which is up on the peninsula. A lot of St. Louis folks go there. It can be really cold, especially on the Lake Michigan side, if you're in the Bay of Green Bay.
Can you imagine?
But it's brutal.
And he hacked out in the winter. He must have been horrible this winter. Mm-hmm. But good for Dan. And that's it for Sue's
You know,
News.
I used to, when I was in Milwaukee, I used to get these invites to do the, what they call those, the polar bear plunge.
Yes, yeah, the polar plunge.
I can't remember. You would think that that would be something I would remember, right, if I did that. But I'm pretty sure that I was not dumb enough to ever say yes to one of those. I have a faint recollection of being out there on the shores of Lake Michigan watching other idiots doing it.
You mean
like
those
20
things
years ago?
For charity?
Yeah,
you mean,
they do it on January 1st, like the polar bear plunge. But if that guy did it every day, he can't ever feel his legs. I'll promise you that. 422, Cusimano on the disastrous Cardinals and the rest of sports. And he's coming up 545. Dr. Marty McCary, who is at Johns Hopkins, and talking about how many adults are immune just because of natural immunity and some other things related to COVID. Next on 97.1 FM Talk.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
On the weather front, I heard earlier that we might be in record territory for this day in June 14th. See if we can find that out from Dave Murray. The good news is that I checked, because we love the dew point. And again, the high dew point means it's uncomfortable. The low dew point means it's not as uncomfortable. And it's in the 50s right now. So that thing pops up into the 60s and the 70s, and it is absolutely miserable.
So it looks like the record today is 97.
Mm-hmm.
And today it is... I think it got up to 96, so I don't know if we just quite...
Plus, we don't know exactly. The official is at the airport, but we'll find out soon enough. Hey, Steve Shankman coming up in the next hour. I went to The Factory, which is a new concert venue in Chesterfield, for an opening on Saturday night. It is amazing. Steve was with Contemporary Productions. He's going to join us for some details on that. I played the audio earlier this hour, and then last week also Dr. Marty McCary is with us this afternoon. He's a professor at Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, talking about immunity to COVID, whether you had the vaccine or whether you had the virus, and some other things that are happening around the planet right now. Dr. McCary, how are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me, Mark. Good to be with you.
I try to be, let me say it this way. I'm not a very positive person, okay? I'm a negative person. I'm a glass half empty person. However, when it comes to COVID, I've been trying to focus on the positive, look for the positive. And there's a lot of positive out there. And I heard some of that from you last week even. But then I see this story today about Chile locking down after the vaccines there were failing to prevent the COVID wave. Now, I think some of this has to do with the difference between the mRNA vaccine and, you know, the other type of vaccine. But what should we be concerned about, what's happening in Chile and Brazil right now? Let's start there.
No, those are largely unvaccinated populations. You're going to hear a lot more about outbreaks around the world, especially in sub-Saharan Africa, where less than 1% of the population is vaccinated. But we're good. We're strong. We've got 80 to 85% of American adults now immune, either from vaccinated immunity or natural immunity. And that's why cases now are extremely low.
Right. When it comes to the natural immunity, that was one of the things that I think caught my attention last week. How can we be so sure? I guess maybe the question is, how can you be so sure that the natural immunity, I think you put it like 80 to 85%, is that high?
Yeah, so it's about half of the unvaccinated. And we know that from several studies, including in California, where they showed that about 45% of LA residents had antibodies way back about 3-4 months ago. And so that's probably the case nationally, because about half of those who get infected have no symptoms, and you still can develop some antibody or immune response to it. So I think we can feel good about natural immunity, and we know it works. And that's data that I summarized last week in the Wall Street Journal in a piece titled The Power of Natural Immunity. It's strong, it's powerful, it works. It suggests that vaccines don't even they're not even necessary. They don't help if you have natural immunity.
So that's going to, and I've heard from a lot of folks, and I think maybe the most prominent would be Senator Paul, who said, I'm not going to get the vaccine because I've had COVID. Is that, and I guess I'm going to ask this question in a couple of different ways, just because, you know, I saw something today about where people are getting hospitalized, the younger people who are not vaccinated. I don't know how the natural immunity comes into play, but what would your message be for those people who have not had COVID, who are younger in particular, and are planning on not getting the vaccine?
I would say get one dose. Look, the two-dose regimen is probably too high of an inoculum. You know, it's too heavy. We're seeing complications after the second dose within days of it. And they're rare, but they are heart complications of swelling called pericarditis. And the first dose is extremely effective. So until we get more information from the CDC on the complications of the second dose, let's just focus on the first dose. And I would recommend people get it now ahead of the Delta variant, which is becoming more common.
Yeah, and as far as and that's what's going on, I think, partially in Chile. But on the Delta variant, that's something also that's taking off in China right now, is what I understand, right? And they don't have that under control?
That's right, although, remember, we saw this with B.1.1.7, the UK variant, a lot of news stories about how it was more contagious and more deadly. Ultimately, those stories were overstated, the added contagion and deadliness. So it's not, the reality is we don't have a lot of information on the Delta variant, but one thing we do know is that it's really not hurting people who are immune, either from having had the vaccine or from natural immunity. So if you've not had the vaccine and you've not had the infection, I would recommend you get one dose of the two-dose regimen if you're under 30, and get your regular two-dose regimen if you're over 30.
Well, what would you say about there's a new vaccine that we found out a little bit about today as well that had some positive test results, wasn't there?
Yeah, Novavax found to be super effective against all the known variants out there, consistent with what we've known, and that is the vaccines work. Now, Novavax is not yet available in the U.S. It's not approved, but it does show that all these variants, and we've had hundreds of variants, none of them have evaded the amazing life-protecting effect of the vaccine.
Dr. Marty Makary is with us, professor at Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, also wrote a book that's now in paperback, called The Price We Pay. We're now roughly a year and a half into this. There's been a lot of discussion in particular about Dr. Fauci and some of the messaging that had come out from the CDC last year. What's your take on where we got this wrong in the pandemic and how to correct that?
Yeah, well, first of all, Dr. Fauci's had a bad week last week.
He did.
Look, we need to show some more humility, okay? Where is Dr. Fauci to just say, look, I'm sorry, I got it wrong. I made a mistake. It was with good faith and good intentions. But I failed to warn the country of the pandemic. And we didn't hear a wink from him about how bad it was going to be until the lockdowns. And, you know, why was a bunch of us running around the country sounding the alarm, telling people to prepare? That was a big mistake. That was a big failure. He's the nation's top advisor on this issue of pandemics. And if he didn't warn the country, he probably didn't warn the White House. And so when we had the closures, once things got bad, it was like the rapture, you know, like sprint to the grocery store and where are your kids? And Uncle Bob is stuck overseas, and we should have had better preparation. Then we should have had better guidance on masks. Our guidance on vaccine allocation was late, 2 weeks after the vaccines came out. They were wrong on schools. They still have absurd policies on kids wearing masks outdoors. And now we're learning 4 months late that teen suicides among attempts among women, among teenage women, were up 50% in February and March. Why didn't they tell us that in February and March and not now in June?
Yeah, I saw that over the weekend. That's an interesting point. And on the mask front, let me just say this. I was so thrilled this morning because we're getting maybe just a little further than some parts of the country here in Missouri, as you might expect. But I took my daughter. She was off last week in between her last day of school where she did have to wear a mask at school. But my district here, Rockwood, has loosened those up for her summer program. So unless you're on the bus, and she's not taking the bus, so she shows up this morning for what's called Adventure Club, Dr. McCurry. Nobody's wearing masks, except for the teacher, of course. But I was so thrilled with that, and she finally gets to play inside and outside without a mask for the first time all year.
We've got to reestablish the human connection in life. People have been masked and covered and in profound isolation for far too long. We got to rebuild communities. So I'm glad to hear that.
So when it comes to lockdowns and the mask policies, where are you on that right now, taking a look back at the last 14, 15 months?
Well, look, some people want this pandemic to go forever. And the reality is that we're 1/50th the cases that we see of a mild flu season in terms of daily cases. We're doing very well. We've always said when we're below 10 cases per 100,000, we get back to normal. Even Dr. Fauci said that. We're there. We're well below those thresholds. You can't just have closing criteria without reopening criteria. And unfortunately now it's those that listen to the fear-mongering and those that listen to the public health leaders that ignore natural immunity think things are far more dire and risky than they really are. And at some point, we've got to move on.
Well, and a lot of that's because, you know, I kind of started this interview saying I wanted to feel positive. Then I see, you know, stories, whether it's the New York Times or elsewhere, that focus on the negative. So the media has a big role in this.
Yeah, I actually don't even blame Dr. Fauci. He's just one doctor who's been wrong a lot. I blame CNN and Meet the Press and all these shows that ran him on incessantly.
Yeah.
Just he's one doctor. How about put other doctors on there to give counter opinions?
Well, that's what's you've kind of hit on the crux of a lot of different topics in this country. Why not have different perspectives on this? I mean, you're from the esteemed Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, right? I mean, that they had the original COVID tracker.
That's right. You know, it's nothing personal. It's not political. I'm not a partisan, but it's okay and healthy to be disagreeing with Drs. Walensky and Fauci when they're wrong. And what you see, unfortunately, are a lot of TV doctors who only stick to the party line. They will never once criticize anything under the Biden administration. If the CDC says, hey, we see these heart complications in kids, we're going to hold a meeting in 10 days. And I say, hey, why not tonight? Why not now?
Right,
this is urgency. None of the TV doctors will say anything to criticize the Biden administration agencies. And that's not intellectually honest. And I don't know who to blame, them or these media outlets that run them.
Yeah, because why is that? I mean, what would be, I understand if you're a partisan, so you're basically saying that that's just a partisan instinct on theirs because they don't want to challenge the administration or embarrass them?
That's probably more your expertise than mine, but look at the cancel culture that we're seeing for people with legitimate medical ideas. And so it's, why do we put our whole faith and stock in one person? I like Dr. Fauci, but you know, he has spent almost all his time doing media. And so I don't know how you can do your job and do media. I mean, I'll get podcast requests. I can do like one or two of these interviews a day because I'm, you know, working. And I'm glad we were able to connect here, but you know, I'll get media requests from a podcast that has my staff will, you know, get the inquiry, find out it only has 3 reviews on iTunes
right,
and there's
right.
only 50 letters. And they'll say, we're going to decline this on your behalf. And I think, fine. And then I find out Dr. Fauci's on it. And it's, you know, he's on every single thing you can be. We cannot compete with what he says when the entire media worships one opinion and they announce it like it's breaking news. Dr. Fauci said, blah, blah, blah. I've never gotten one thing out of what he says because he talks in these generalities. He says really nothing.
Well, you know what's interesting about that, too? A couple weeks ago, I saw an interview with Admiral Girard. And, you know, we saw him with Dr. Birch last week or last year all the time on the podium during the briefings. And he seemingly had some, you know, difference of opinions than Dr. Fauci that we really didn't even hear over the course of last summer and into the fall.
Yeah, Dr. Brett Girard is solid. You're hearing some other good things out there from Scott Gottlieb, Monica Gandhi. You're hearing there's good medical opinions out there. Actually, these TV doctors that you see, which I call the government doctors, that is our politically appointed doctors and those who have strong allegiances to them, they don't represent all doctors. A lot of doctors are frustrated. And I can tell you that because I get all kinds of doctors reaching out to me saying, thank God you're speaking up on natural immunity. This is what I've always believed and have been telling my patients. I don't know why the CDC and Fauci don't accept it or recognize it.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Is there anything, you know, one of the things that keeps coming up when I talk to people about the vaccine and just COVID overall, is there anything to the type O blood situation? Because there were a lot of rumors about that last year, and it seemed like people who had type O were in better situations.
Yeah, that's true. And we see that with a lot of diseases in medicine, is that certain blood types do better than others, and a little bit, not a lot better. But it's probably because the blood type is a surrogate marker of other things in your genetics that make you a little more resilient or susceptible.
Dr. Marty Makary, thanks so much for coming on here. We do have a few more listeners than just the average podcast, so that's appreciated. The book, by the way, is called The Price We Pay, just came out. It's the paperback edition. We'll have you back. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Mark. Good to be with you.
I like the optimism and just the different approach, and he makes some great points about just having different voices on when it comes to everything moving forward with the pandemic. Wouldn't that be refreshing? 442, Frank Cusimano is coming up on 97.1 FM Talk.
This is what it feels like to be 100%.
Well, that was Bill Murray at Wrigley Field Friday afternoon before the Cubs swept the Cubs. Cardinals, unfortunately.
And we're going to be louder right now until the last out in the top of the ninth inning. Understood?
Bill was struggling there just a little bit, but unfortunately the Cubs got the much better hand of the Cardinals. Frank, what? I mean, this isn't getting any better, is it? And I was hopeful on Friday afternoon because, you know, we talked about this a little bit. They had the lead in the game. If they could get off to a good start with the Cubs, maybe take that series. But they didn't even win one game. And Carlos actually pitched well.
He really did. You know, he went 7. He struck out 6. Both of the runs were unearned. If Paul DeJong picks that ball up cleanly behind second base, maybe he doesn't give up any runs. But it's like Mike Schultz is going into a gunfight without, you know, much ammo. Every night he's trotting out there, well, at least 60% of the time, a pitcher who's going to go about 5 innings. Now, Adam Wainwright goes tonight, and that's a good thing because he's good at home, and he's also good at ending losing streaks. And this is quite a skid. I mean, it's 11 out of 13, and they're under 500 for the first time since late April.
Now, you talked about this a little bit on Friday. Every team goes through losing stretches, even good teams and teams that go on to win championships. But this one seems a little bit more problematic.
Well, it does because you just don't know about like 60% of your starting staff. You just don't know about John Gant or KK or Oviedo, who has good stuff and maybe a good pitcher one day. And then is Wainwright has a good start, maybe 3 out of every 5 chances. And Carlos is 2 out of every 5 chances. It's just brutal. I mean, the bullpen is overworked. And, you know, who do you have confidence in the bullpen? You love Gallegos and you like Reyes and sometimes Cabrera, but I don't know about the rest. So it's tough.
Well, and then you have, you know, Bill Murray was referencing 100% capacity at Wrigley Field, Frank. You have that at Busch Stadium tonight. Any indication whether we'll even be close to 100% capacity with the way the team's playing?
Well, I don't think it will be. I heard the initial season ticket or the ticket sales were pretty good for tonight. I heard over 28,000, but that may be the novelty of it all, the first time that you can, you know, seat 100% and people would go. What worries me, Mark, would be the next night and the next day, when all of a sudden the Cardinals could be 2 games under 500 and you're playing the Florida freaking Marlins or the Miami Marlins, who aren't very interesting to begin with. So tonight, the novelty of it all, hey, we can fill it, but boy, what happens after that if you're losing?
So on Sports on a Sunday Morning with Tom Ackerman on our sister station, KMOX, yesterday, John Mozeliak was on, and Mo said, maybe we can shake things up a little bit after the 11th loss in 13 games. But what would you think that might entail at this point?
Well, I think he's going to make a move, and he's good at this. But it's going to be one of those guys that maybe doesn't have a glitzy resume, a team that's struggling. And I don't think he's going to wait to the deadline. He knows he's got to bring in a starting pitcher right now. And, you know, he's not going to trade Nolan Gorman, who, by the way, is the player of the week in his minor leagues. But I think he's going to find something. Yeah.
Well, you just got to feel, I mean, nobody really was doing anything with the bat yesterday, but Arenado, who had a bit of a rough, I think, May, has really picked it up. It just seems like no matter what they do, Friday's a good example, they end up losing the game because the bullpen can't hold it together.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up because they do have an offense that's starting to, hey, they're not bad. You know, because, Mark, before they had, like, alternative programming. To win, they didn't out-hit anybody. They just out-pitched people. Now they can't do that. But the offense has picked up a little bit. I mean, Edmund's fine. Carlson's fine. Goldie's good. Arenado's good. O'Neill's good. Molina's been good. So it's not bad. I mean, it's not the Cincinnati Reds top four or five. It's not the Cubs four or five. But it's not bad. It's not a devastatingly bad offense.
But, you know, then again, you say that, and I would agree. But yesterday, I mean, I can't remember who pitched for the Cubs, but wasn't there an ERA of about four that they were up against, and they only had two hits?
Yeah, Zach Davies is not going to be confused with Kyle Hendricks, but his ERA is about at four, and for his career, it's under four. But they made him look, you know, like Cy Young in his prime. I mean, 6 2/3 and two hits. But in general, I don't think the issue is with the offense. It's with the starting pitching and a lot of the bullpen, too.
You'd like to think, Frank, and maybe we are going to be saying this in several weeks, and this will all be behind us, that, you know, this was the low point of the season and things got better from there. But I just I don't see anyone that feels very confident about turning this thing around. Now, tonight there's an opportunity, certainly with the pitching matchup, I think.
Yeah, and I will say this, Mark, the optimistic angle in this is that maybe they expedite the learning curve of Matthew Liberatore, who pitched well for the United States Olympic team and then had a real good start in Memphis. And maybe Dakota Hudson, who they're talking about coming back maybe late August, he comes back. As I said before on Friday, if you can just tread water till you get some of these guys back, you may be okay. I'm not counting on Miles Michaelis coming back, but Flaherty's going to come back and be good. And maybe Liberatore will be the story of the season, if he can come out and give you seven or eight good starts down the stretch.
We can hope and pray, and we can hope that the Cubs start losing some games as well. Frank Cusumano from KSDK Channel 5, I appreciate it, Frank. We'll talk on Friday.
Okay, Mark, thank you so much.
It's devastating, and it's just a big bummer. You know, my friends Scott Jennings and Joe Arnold, who are contributors to the show, Jennings down in Louisville, Joe, former WHAS, they're going to come to town this week. I think they said coming in tomorrow, taking their boys. They both have young kids to the game on Wednesday. There's a day game on Wednesday, so maybe we can get them into the studio. But I bring it up because we're on a text string together, you know, mainly about the Cardinals, and it's just negative, negative, negative. There's not a whole lot to really hang on to right now, and I hope that maybe they can turn things around here with this series against Cincinnati. I had a great time, and I'm so excited as a music fan for people to see The Factory, which is a new concert venue in Chesterfield in the Valley. Steve Shankman, president of Contemporary Productions, who, with Michael Steinberg, created this venue, which is really cool. Steve's coming up after the top of the hour, 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.